Welcome back to Brass Tacks. The messages keep coming in. Good afternoon, Mr. Price. You know what upsets me most about this whole crane issue? If it was a black man that had moved the crane chairs, the police would have come out in their numbers to arrest the black man. It's a white man who took the black man's chairs, so no one got arrested. And another person says, I don't know why this gentleman, meaning Mohamed Nasser, would want to make this a racial issue. He is going to lose some of the numbers needed in this cause. Please remind him that there are white Bajans born and bred here in this beautiful island that feel the same way, and it hurts to watch their country being destroyed. How sad, I cry for my country. Another one says, tell Mr. Nasser that the Crane Beach injustice is an injustice against all Bajans, black, blue, or green. And one of the dangerous things that happens in society is that people comment and jump on a bandwagon without having all the facts. Sadly, this crane issue is one such issue. When I hear Nasser, a man for whom I have a certain amount of respect, saying things like, we should push down the crane and let the employees there find work elsewhere. He didn't say that, sir, but I'm just reading your thing, but he did not say push down the crane, okay? That is absolute nonsense. That is simply going too far. The crane has never prevented anybody from going onto and bathing on Crane Beach, never. This particular issue with the vendors is something that has been allowed to drag on and on for years by the NCC without resolution. They appear to be a do-nothing organization. This matter needs cool heads and a willingness to have it resolved, but the mob and bandwagon approach is not the way. During the break, I got onto the crane and spoke to one of their marketing people, and they said that they will be issuing a statement on this matter, and so we'll be trying to get that statement shortly. In fact, it has arrived, and it's kind of long. Anyhow, statement from the crane. We recognize that the public hasn't heard the entire story, which is little more complex than is currently conveyed. We wish to note, one, we fully support that all Barbados beaches are public and have no desire to privatize Crane Beach. The public has always been and will always be welcome to enjoy the beach. After ongoing discussions with vendors, we were able to come to an agreement this morning for them to continue operating on the beach and store their chairs in a more proportionate area than previously utilized. We will continue any further deliberations with the NCC separately. And they also gave some background to the issue. For the past 20 years, we have been utilizing approximately half of the space on Crane Beach that is within our land boundaries, with the beach chair vendors plying their trade on the other half. Although the vending was technically taking place on lands that we purchased and continue to pay taxes on, we welcomed it as we were a small hotel with only 18 rooms and did not need more space at the time. Since then, we have substantially grown to 457 bedrooms today, servicing over 800 guests when at capacity. Continuing to utilize the same space to service our guests, resulting in a vast disproportionate use of the beach with hundreds of guests hugged on one half and far less on the other. This has harshly impacted guest satisfaction over the past several years. We have come to a position where we can continue this growth, adding an additional 300 rooms and approximately 400 more employees over the next 5 to 10 years. However, we are unable to do so in good conscience if we are only able to service our guests on half of the area that is within our boundaries. We have always welcomed the public to enjoy Crane Beach, and as such, have been negotiating with the NCC and the vendors for 9 years through numerous meetings, discussions, and registered letters in an effort to proportionately share the area. We were happy that agreements were reached in 2009 and again as recently as 3 months ago to share the beach more proportionately. Unfortunately, these agreements were never upheld, resulting in further guest dissatisfaction. Our position, as with all beachfront properties in Barbados, our land boundary extends to the high water mark, which is the average level reached by the sea at high tide. Our only issue has been with the allocation of beach chair vending licenses by NCC for commercial use of the part of the beach that resides within our land boundaries, including the storage of beach chairs. Our research has shown that the Crane is the only hotel in Barbados where NCC licenses have been given to beach chair vendors on or directly in front of hotel property. We fully support that all Barbados beaches are public, and it reiterate that we have no desire to privatize Crane Beach. The public has always been and will always be welcome to enjoy the beach. And this is, as I said, a release from the Crane Beach with the contact of Mr. Sean Allen, the general manager. And they have basically stated that they have had discussions with the vendors and they have been able to come to an agreement this morning for them to continue operating on the beach and store their chairs in a more proportionate area than previously utilized. And they will continue any further deliberations with the NCC separately. So that's the word from the Crane. We go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
They're not too bad. Listen to me. I agree with Gabby 100%. I agree with Gabby. You buy some Barbadians are scared of talking. They're scared to talk. They'll talk a lot of people busy, but they won't mind their business. They're scared to talk. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Yes.
Hello?
Right ahead. Yes, go right ahead, sir.
Yes. It's just three little things. One of the first thing I want to mention to you is, and you like facts, Section 35 of the Constitution of Barbados states, I quote, "There shall be a Parliament of Barbados which shall consist of Her Majesty, a Senate, and House of Assembly," end of quote. That tells you that Parliament has not been dissolved, but in actual fact, the Senate and the House has been dissolved. You follow me?
Yes, the Senate and the House have been dissolved, yes.
Has been dissolved.
Uh-huh.
But the Parliament of Barbados has not been dissolved because the Queen, Her Majesty, it consists of Her Majesty and the other two. So the other two has been dissolved, the Senate and the House of Assembly. But it is wrong to say that the Parliament of Barbados has been dissolved. Because the Queen actually is the head of state, and she's the third part. Our Parliament is tripartite, and she's the third part, or the first part, as the Constitution said, as of the Parliament. But yet we keep hearing that Parliament has been dissolved. And I'm not a lawyer, so that is why I quote directly from the Constitution of Barbados, Section 35.
Okay, sir.
And the other thing I want to go on with, you've been asking about buying votes and money for votes and things. So I didn't know if you were still in school in 1981, but I was an independent candidate in St. Peter in 1981 general election. And before that, I born and raised in the city and lived at a shop, the Flying Saucer Bar, that was owned by Ernest Dyson Marley in Boxes Road. People have been paying people for the vote long before that time. Vote buying, as Mr. Nasser would tell you, vote buying is nothing new in Barbados. And you know when the most of the vote buying is done or selling on polling day. On polling day. No, I was an independent candidate, so I can buy the vote. And the boy come to me to sign the vote when I had the money. But it's normally the parties that get the big funding from big business and so on, and they're more organized. And they're the ones who compare the people, and the people go out to who wants that to vote, and so on. So to make it sound like it is something new, it's nothing new. And the final part, this beach business. I don't know if you remember when Mr. Alpha was prime minister, and Italian wanted to buy John Moore's bar. I don't know if you remember that. And the government purchased John Moore Bar under the Compulsory Acquisition Act. John Moore Bar basically is a ramshaw. And you use that act in the interest of the public. But that was purchased under the Compulsory Acquisition Act. If you're making a highway and somebody's property is anywhere, compulsory acquisition, if you don't get a private treaty, because some people will sell what they have to the government. Sometimes the government has to use the Compulsory Acquisition Act. The high water mark thing, the high water mark is a variable. Depends on how the tide moves, the high water mark moves. What the government should do is use the Compulsory Acquisition Act to purchase land on the beach. Because what is happening for the use of the public, what is happening, this gentleman is talking about his property boundaries or whatever paper. I never had one. Thank you, we got one. You're on my own property. And you know that the mark for the property is the center of the road. But you would also know that you cannot do as you please because it is on your title. It is merely there, but you know you cannot use it. It goes to the center of the road. And the people that got property opposite you, they go to the center of the road. But you can't control there because of what is your boundary. So this gentleman is saying that his property mark goes down to the sea. And he really is dealing with something they don't understand. So his lawyer should really explain to him. But if the government in Barbados decide to purchase the section of the beach between the private property people and the sea for the public, then that would be a wise thing to do. They do it for building highways. If they're going to build a highway, they use the compulsory acquisition for buying John Moore Bar, a ram shop, then use it to purchase beach land on the beach, so the hotel owners and the unscrupulous ones cannot come and say people on their property because that is what their documents tell them. Because I used to take people in another life down to Tamarind Cove. I am now hearing the lady saying that along the beach there, you got to go in the site. You got to go in the sea. That can't be right. But people can do these things if nobody don't do them anything. And I find the NCC to be a strange organization, because if they give people permission to operate on a beach, it must be government-owned land. Otherwise, they shouldn't be giving people permission. So once they give people permission, it is government-owned land. That's the way it is. All right. You have a nice day.
You too, sir.
All right. Good, man.
This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
I want to make an appeal to the owners of the lands around like St. David's, King, Ballantyne, in the general area. Every year, sir, we got lots and lots of fires coming out of that area because of land that is unkept. And then the government resources will be cleaning them up, the coverage. The firemen will be risking their life every year to out the fire. But most importantly, sir, we residents that live in Downing, my son got respiratory tract infection, sir, from all these lands every year. These people ain't doing that with the lands, just letting the bush go on them, don't burn. And Downing, every, like Sunday, sir, a tick, blob of smoke. Can't even see a hand in front of his face. And that stretched all the way down to the hospital, you believe that? From all the camp where we're coming from. And every year, this land is allowed to just grow into a bush, do what it feels like, and the residents got to suffer, and the owners seem not to be doing nothing about the land. Do you think that there's some way that the commitment, like, either put it back in agricultural use or plow it up?
Well, getting it back into agriculture use would be the ideal thing. The problem is really and truly one where I think it has to be a consistent program. You know, what amazes me is that every...
This way saying the land yeah, got owners, pressure the owners to do something about it.
Yeah, but you know...
Because there are suffering people who living downwind from it every
but
year.
Sir, there was a,
government resources.
But sir, there was an ongoing program where... I'll just say the government, because government is white, but there was a government agency that routinely cleaned lots that were overgrown with bush. And then they would charge the owners of that land. I don't know if that still continues, but the whole thing about it is that if these things were going on for several years, why all of a sudden they stop or they don't seem to be as consistent as they used to be?
Well, I don't know, sir. But
because
there's a lot of
suffering, as in case of your son, but there are the elderly people as well who may not have someone to come and agitate on their behalf.
You can't run and get away from your house. You can't run.
Yeah, it is a problem. It really is
a yearly ongoing problem, and the owners of these lands seem not to care.
That is very true.
Right, one more quick point, sir.
Go right ahead.
I know they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a picture, sir. He lives with the independent candidate for the city going around flashing guns. After now, I have not heard.
She has explained on social media, because I read it, that those pictures were taken about 7 years ago.
That has nothing to do with it.
Hold a second. I am giving you her explanation. Okay, she explained that those pictures were taken 7 years ago in Martinique and she was a different person at the time.
Yeah, so
I'm simply saying what she said.
I understand.
Okay, good.
I understand.
All right, sir.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you very much for calling. This WhatsApp person is saying, good afternoon. Could you please bring the attention of the authorities a problem we have in the Redmond Village area? There's a motor car that drives through this area at a great speed with the exhaust being loud. And when the gear is shifted, it makes an extremely loud explosion like shots being discharged. This is very unsettling and unnerving to the elderly persons in the area. I am surprised that Winnie has not brought it to your attention before. We're back to the phone lines. It's 1:30. We finish at 2:00. This is Brass Tax. Good afternoon.
Here.
Good afternoon. Sorry, I didn't catch you before. There was
Mr.
a little.
Mr. P. Here.
Yes, Mr. P. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, maybe something. Two things. If you were ill, you had 2 doctors in your ear. You went to both. You never got any better, and no doctor arrived in your area. Will you not try it?
Your point is?
My point is, I hope Natalie win the city seat.
You hope
we have
what?
I prayed Natalie wins the city seat. And if I was Lynette Eastman, I would withdraw my candidacy, encourage her to join up my party, and give her free reign. She have lived it. She knows it. A person who have never suffered cannot tell anybody where it is to suffer. They can sympathize and they can promise to which not necessarily me they're going to do for you. My next thing, I really want to know what is the position with that cement plant that's located right next to Oxford Mill. I have not heard anything since. A matter of fact, I have seen signs not going up to that building. All of this talk about the cement not getting into the flower, I am not buying it. We have the country of Africa 21,000 miles away. The Sahara dust comes here, affects people with asthma, and creates sicknesses of its own. I want to know how white barbarians is best sit down and tolerate this nonsense and complaining. You live in a housing area where no major nothing can happen. All that can happen is that you either resurface a road or patch it. But a person erects a structure at the back of their house to make themselves comfortable and complaining can come and lick it down in a hurry. But we have a situation now that exists where our health is being threatened because there's a possibility that cement dust is going into our flour and contaminating our flour. And if it is about it, and I don't intend to damage this. I don't. And we have so many lawyers about this place, and nobody have come and taken up this thing on behalf of the people. I will talk to you again, Frank. Thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
Enjoy it too. But always remember, there's a legal process that has to be followed in these things. And as far as I know, the legal process is ongoing as we speak. This is, we're going to take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Just read this verse. I understand clearly the pain from the gentleman who called about the idle landing in the Christchurch area burning, burning, burning. They passed the sunset legislation for cricket. They can pass idle land legislation to hold landowners accountable. It is highly unfair for persons downwind to endure this every year. This is a note from a WhatsApp listener. And I certainly agree with you, sir, because if we know that these things occur annually, we can be proactive and get the lands cleaned up. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science. It's like the situation with this, the Blackman Gollop School and other areas and areas in St. John and whatnot that has a lot of cowage. You know that this is a problem that's going to be developing. Why are we not proactive? Why do we wait until there is a problem then to act? It just does not make sense. We really need to manage what we're doing better in this country. We go back to the phone lines. It's 1:38. Remember, we close at 2. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I ran in on that issue with the Crane Beach. As a St. Philip person, as someone that bid numerous occasions at Crane, especially in the 70s, I never knew that Crane Black Beachfront, when Crane was owned by the previous owner, Masters, that beachfront there, as far as I can see, was never, because Crane way up on the hill. If you know what I'm speaking about, Crane is way up on a cliff. And that bottom part down there was never owned. That was always government owned. So if they're saying, Sean's saying, because I ordered Sean, I told him general manager of Crane. I know him. Let me tell you something. If he's saying that they bought that, someone would have to sell government property unknown to the taxpayers. So that means things that must be investigated. You get me?
Yes.
And that down there, I know what I'm speaking about right here in my vision. I live in Fort Road, but that right in my vision, because I know the Crane up there very well. Long before the sea came and tear down the other part out there, they wronged about. But look, some person would have to sell the government land down there unknown to the taxpayers. I don't know which administration. How long you say that they bought it?
But no, sir, that's not really not
what
the issue.
They bought it. If you know what year they bought it, who administration was in control.
Sir, just hold on. It is not a case of them. As long as you own the property, it goes right down to the 100-foot mark, 33 meters from
hello,
the
land.
Could you just listen first? Okay.
You're listening, but you can't tell me nothing that I know already.
Well, you know, a cup that full can never hold any other water. So if you don't really want to listen, you ain't going
to
learn.
I going to listen to you, because when I listen, other people out there would hear.
Thank you.
So talk.
Right. As defined by the Act, the legislation, the beach includes all land adjacent to and within 33 meters, which is 100 feet, of the land word limit of the foreshore, that is the Dray Beach and the backshore areas, in private ownership. So therefore, if they own that property, they go another 100 feet on the shore, and that land is also, they're also responsible for that. And that's what they're talking about.
Yes, something, brother. This could only happen in this time, a lucky public politician, because it would have never happened under Errol Walton Barrow. And that's what I know. I already used to, and I sank it, and I know that could have never been owned under Errol Walton Barrow. Are you listening? Hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Let me tell you something. My grandfather, a man called Rick, who was a fisherman, he owned boat. His sister, Flory. I see now that Crane Hotel had incorporated land at Flory. Nobody said Flory, then nobody don't have the papers for Flory land. But Flory land incorporated behind the high walls of Crane Hotel. Because I can tell you that these people are robbers. How Flory and nobody in the family have never been compensated for that land. So this is something I can't bring a paper. None of my brothers, nobody can bring papers to prove the anti-Flory land. Because let me tell you something, that's the issue that might happen there. Because you don't have no papers to prove that these people grab your land. When you think it's easy about this little land, what they're bringing this little land to try to push black people back? This is a serious matter.
All right, sir. We hear you. We understand what you're saying. And it is a serious matter. And I do think that is one of those things that need to be discussed widely, because it is a very emotional issue, and a lot of people feel very, very strongly about it. Thank you very much for calling. This is for another WhatsApp message here. I am in Christchurch, very close to Blackman Gollop School. My wife is asthmatic. The smoke up here is hard for her. Sir, I hear you. And this is the point that I was trying to make earlier, that, you know, it's really sad that this is not the first year that this has happened with the Blackman and Gollop School. This is not the first year it's happened with a number of other schools and a number of other areas where you have to be, where you have this coverage problem, or where you just have this excessive bushing, there's this burning. And clearly, there must be a pattern to this. And those, the department and government that is responsible for this, I don't know if it's the environmental department, I don't know if it's the environmental unit attached to the particular polyclinic in the parish, but the whole thing about it is that they need to recognize these trends and be able to be proactive. And if they don't have the resources, at least if you're proactive, you can alert another organization, another government department that would have the resources to help you to clean the area before it becomes a problem and causes a health issue to so many people. It just doesn't make sense that repeatedly we have to be dealing with these issues that are quite simple to fix. We just need to plan. This is Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sanka.
Good afternoon,
Sanka. My name's Peter Thompson, and there's a lot of information circulating about the Crane Beach problem, which is less than accurate.
Yes.
People should really go and read the appropriate legislation. Actually, I have to give a lot of credit to the people who wrote this legislation, bureaucrats, politicians, back in, it must have been Henry Ford, because this was passed back in 1982.
Yes, I have it in front of me here.
The National Conservation Commission Act.
Yes. Cap 393.
And yes, mm-hmm. And it is a very crafty piece of legislation, because you see, property owners who have beachfront property own the property down to the high water mark. And Bajans truly believe that they own the beach. But really, public ownership is of the wet beach. It's of the beach between the low water mark and the high water mark. And so that is not most of the beach. The fact is that when Henry Ford wrote this legislation, he did something very, very clever.
Hold on. Don't say that, Henry Ford, because it would have been drafted by the legal drafters. So don't attribute this to Sir Henry Ford at all, please. Uh-huh. Go right ahead.
Well, whoever wrote the legislation effectively left title in the hands of the property owner, but removed control of the beach from the property owner. The Act explicitly says that the National Conservation Commission is to control, maintain, and develop the public parks, public gardens, and beaches of Barbados. Mm-hmm. It does not say public beaches of Barbados. It says beaches of Barbados. Mm-hmm. And it defines the beach as 33 meters back from the high water mark. In other words, the NCC has complete legal control of all beaches in Barbados. The property owners do not. They have title and they pay taxes, but they do not have control.
Mm-hmm. You want to go on, sir, to the deeper implications of the Act and how they're now becoming clear to you?
Well, yes, it means that it is up to an effective NCC to defend the public interest. Mm-hmm. Because they have the legislative power to defend the public interest in all these cases, providing access, determining how the property owners themselves can utilize their property, like through beach chairs. Basically, the NCC has the legislated authority to tell the crane exactly where they can place beach chairs on their own beach. And they have the authority to license other vendors to place beach chairs on the beach. Mm-hmm. So the NCC needs to exercise its authority and stop rolling over in front of landowners.
Sir, I thank you for calling because you are the person who wrote this very, very long explanation earlier. And I was trying to find a way to bring it on, but it's so long. And so thank you very much for calling and explaining that.
Thank you, Sanka.
Okay. Bye-bye. We have to take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I just want to share this. I've been carrying on a conversation here with a young lady on the WhatsApp, and she lives in Warners Park, and she says she suffers from this problem with burning smoke, on a day-to-day basis, and it's really impacting her life. And she says why people in that development that is in Warners Park are not burning is the people in the Vauxhall Tenantry boarding the development who are doing it. And just to read a brief piece of her message, a lot of this is still going on by inconsiderate people that is burning stuff and, you know, personal stuff, personal garbage and whatnot people are burning, who have no respect for the impact of what that smoke from burning and how it affects those around them. Just last week, I had to stay in my house feeling like I was suffocating from that very same personal burning by inconsiderate individuals with nowhere to run from it. Practically every day I am breathing in smoke from the same wildfires and from people doing their own burning, and I have no way to stop this from affecting my health. So this is a lady in, as I said, Warners Park Christchurch, and I would like to appeal to those who surround that area in Vauxhall Tenantry and the surrounding areas that think twice before you burn. In fact, I don't even think you're supposed to be burning stuff like that. You're supposed to do the normal garbage disposal. Yes, it's taking a little longer than usual for garbage disposal, but you've got to make sure you put it in your plastic bags, and you do it. Some people do soak it in bleach or something like that, so that the rats won't get at it. But the whole point is that you just can't continue burning stuff like that because you're affecting people's health. Seriously, this really has got to stop. And then going back to this crane issue, Quick question. If the Crane hotel guest rents a chair from a beach vendor and said chair collapses and the guest sustains injury, who will be liable? Crane Beach Hotel or the beach vendor? Interesting question. It's 1:55. We'll try to take one more call before we go. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
You're the last one. You have 4 minutes, sir.
I was waiting for a long time, right? And let me.
Oh, this is Mark. Oh, hi.
I want to be as accurate as possible. Can you give something to some person that you don't want to some person? Can you sell something that you don't want to some person? I say that to say this, right? Following the issue and what I know, all lands and properties are properties that are properties of the Crown, which falls under the Ministry of Housing and Lands, cannot be distributed by any statutory board or any area unless it is vested. Now, I am saying that I want to hear the Attorney General. I want to hear the Minister of Housing and Lands, even if the debate was put back and written as by the last call that was done by Henry Ford, that NCC is totally in charge of it. My knowledge tells me that the National Housing Corporation is an agent for the Ministry of Housing and Lands. And this justifies that whatever problem goes on at the Queen, similar to in the port, Mr. Price, that you have a situation where a property was built in the port and the person who built the property could not pull it down or will not pull it down because the land was not vested in Port Inc. And this is what has been happening, that people have been taking authority of doing things, and I'm speaking about statutory boards in the true sense of what I'm saying, cannot. And I want to say this openly, that the issue at the Crane is bigger, and I'm calling on the manager of NCC. I'm calling on the Ministry of Housing and Lands, and I am calling on the Attorney General to justify that something went wrong as far as that situation is concerned. You cannot sell what you don't own. You cannot give away what you don't own. And as far as I'm concerned, all that land that went down to the sea is the property of the Ministry of Housing and Lands. And it cannot be placed in anybody's hands unless it is passed through Parliament, vested into that person. So what is going on here? We're hearing that this person claimed that they own the land. We're hearing that this land was with it. And we're not hearing from the Ministry of Housing and Lands. We're not hearing at all from the Attorney General, who represents that same constituency. Somebody's taking advantage of somebody. And I am arguing that when I put down this phone, anybody could follow it up and see that all lands in this country, all lands, that is where you're paying taxes. That is why you're responsible for your land, because there's somebody above you that owns that land, which is the Ministry of Housing and Lands. But it is vested in you and you're responsible. But the Queen situation, as far as I'm concerned, sounds ticklish. It sounds ticklish and it sounds frightening. And Mr. Price, I know you're a journalist and I'm asking you to check it out and you'll see fully that you cannot give away what is not yours. That as far as the vesting of land is concerned, that statutory, the sports council or the NCC cannot give away any land unless it passes through Parliament. It has to be vested first. And you have a situation of people claiming things because a statutory board tell them to operate there. A statutory board tell them, go ahead, do this. It is not yours. It is all not right. Theirs. It is the government's one still.
All right, Mark, you've made your point, and thank you very, very much. I'd like to thank, in fact, everyone for participating today. We had quite a few callers. We managed to read quite a few WhatsApp messages as well. Some of the issues raised, of course, we talked vote buying. We also spoke about the burning of rubbish and the need for cleaning the land in time to sort of cause this problem with COVID. And, of course, we had the situation with the Crane Beach, and they promptly responded by issuing a statement which I read, and I'm sure will be in the Nation newspaper tomorrow. I look forward to being with you at some other time, maybe next week.